Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, February 24th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Oh, warming up there in Dallas?
Yeah, a little bit, but the snows, there's still snow on the ground, I'd say. Maybe 60% of it has melted it off, but there's still some snow on the ground. So it's a little snowy, a little bit icy in places and rest of that. It'll probably be icy on the roads tonight again.
Well, no warming up for gold today. Gold's down currently in the New York spot price, down a dollar at $1,201.80. And you have silver down 5 cents today at $16.37. Platinum is down also a buck at $11.65. And you have palladium up nine at $797. And you have the USDX down 0.11 at 94.44. Crude oil, it was up earlier in the day, but had a reversal, 0.37 to the down, 49.08. And the stock markets were all happy, happy after listening to Miss Yellen up there. You know, every time I heard, when it came to Janet Yellen, a commercial that you're gelling with Yellen. And now every time I hear Yellen's name, I think of that foot commercial, gelling, you know, the foot pieces. I don't know. It's, you
that's
know.
Not exactly. I don't know.
Gelling with Yellen.
It's not exactly the level of news.
I know.
That we try
but
to
she did. What's interesting, she was
generally,
up.
Generally, I mean.
She was up before Congress today. And so most likely, patience.
Did she say that word?
Yes, she did.
Ooh.
And also, so they're not really looking for any type of rate increases by June. And I really don't think that is really a big surprise. I mean, we know they can't do rate increases. So she pretty much have now stretched it to early fall. And but she says America's economy got a gut check Wednesday in about one sentence from the Federal Reserve Chairman. She says, we have seen a significant increase in the share of the pie, or GDP, that accrues to capital as opposed to labor. And what that means is corporate America is doing a lot better than the average American. And again, they must be listening to this program because, you know, we've been saying this for a very long, long, long time. It doesn't take rocket scientists to figure and see what is happening to our economy here. So you have workers that hardly seen any wage growth while corporate profits and the stock markets are at all-time highs. And
And we need more illegal aliens in this country to further depress the wage scale.
Absolutely. And she said, too many Americans remain unemployed or underemployed. But yet all you hear about is the
cheering.
Too
many Mexicans
coming.
Unemployed, too. We got to do something about that, Naldi.
Right, wage
it's our obligation to employ. We must find employment for the illegal aliens.
Wage growth is still sluggish, and inflation remains below their long-term objectives. So no rate hike in the near future, and so she is patient to the approach to rate hikes because, I mean, if you want to see a downside to the economy, just try and raise those rates. So, but the markets loved it, and let me go ahead and bring up the paper market numbers. You had the Dow up over 100 points. It fell back a little bit, up 92 at 18,209. You have the NASDAQ up 7 at 49.68, and the S&P up 5 at 21.15. Euro is still trading at 113. 10-year yield that did dip below the 2%, 1.99 down 0.07. And what's interesting about the NASDAQ is, you know, here we're approaching the 5,000 level, a major number, and the index is made up of more than 3,000 stocks, and but they did a comparison, and when you look at the NASDAQ for this year, all the gains is attributed to five companies.
Yeah.
Just five companies are making up 213 points so far in 2015. So again, you have a very, you know, that's big. That's big. So just find that
it's
kind of
disturbing. It's evidence of increasing concentration of wealth in a handful of companies. And I don't know. It can't be a good thing, and it's a dangerous thing. And what if one of those five companies has a significant setback? Does the index take a significant fall?
Well, if they make up for all the gains of this year of over 213 points, of course, but it also shows that all the other companies, and the again, it's just another illusion that everything is well.
Yeah.
It's another illusion that these markets are indicators that, you know, things are great. No, the only things that are great is the corporations and the stock market because, you know, you got the Federal Reserve and all your, you know, banks and everything working together to keep those numbers up. That's the illusion that they've created. And, you know, Wall Street, Joan Vion told me a long time ago, she says, you know, and she used to tell this in her speeches, you know, what's really destroying this country, the way it's being financed, is through Wall Street. And it is really true. Wall Street is financing the destruction of our country, large part of it. And that's where they get their money. And that's how they become wealthier and wealthier. And this is how they are able to use those.
It's not a zero-sum equation. Well, maybe it is a zero-sum equation. When one gets wealthier, the other has to get poorer. But the problem is that they make the money is made available to corporations because they believe they have a higher probability of repaying their debt than as compared to smaller corporations, family businesses, individuals. The money in recent times has been more accessible to corporations. And if you have a general source of funding available to you, it's not hard, and especially if you can count on that generous source of funding, not hard to prosper. You know, you can afford to take certain risks that other people can't get the money to take advantage of. A lot of good things can happen to you if you have an unequal access to credit. I hear Frank playing with the music. Somebody's playing with the music. Did you hear that
good.
Music melody, or
no,
is that just me?
You're hearing that. That's just you.
Just me.
But just you. But So we also have J.P. Morgan today. They're planning to close 300 bank branches over the next 2 years, about 5% of the total, as you have more and more customers moving online. And these banks are looking to cut costs, which is just really amazing because as much supposed identity theft and hackers going online and stealing people's information, it's just amazing how people are just continuing to go to the internet and just giving their all their information, all their personal information onto the internet to where it can so easily be hacked. And it just surprises me. But tellers handle about 42% of all bank deposits last year, and that's down 90% since 2007.
Yeah.
So that's a massive rush into online banking.
Yep.
And you even have banks have made visits to ATMs less necessary.
No. Melody, when you mute the sound, is that intended to cover the sound of the dog barking in the background, or is it intended to cover the sound of you barking at the dog?
Both.
Both. Both. Right.
Actually, that was Frank barking.
Hi, Frank. Frank.
Now, may I please finish my article, but to everybody.
Well,
you still have 90% of the J.P. Morgan customers that are visiting the brick-and-mortar locations each year. And but again, another sign that customers are going, these branches are going to be closing, people are going to be losing their jobs. And, you know, 300 branches might not seem a lot when J.P. Morgan has over 5,000 branches in 2014, and they employ roughly 46,000 people at these locations, and that's not even including the branch managers, but yet those people that are losing their jobs, you know, it does mean something to them. And, you know, it's just another sign of the times where we're seeing this mad dash to the internet where all transactions, this is why there's 300 pages of an internet regulation book that is supposed to be passed that no one knows what's in it. So let's regulate the internet.
Well, something they'd like to do, we'll watch and see. They're talking about it, and we'll see if they
taxes.
Can get this.
It's
taxes, but I think before we're done, it'll also be about content. There'll be some restrictions on content, and you can't say anything nasty about the beloved government because they do so much for so many that you best not criticize.
It's not a matter of criticize. It's a matter of bringing out the truth.
Well, that's your opinion, Melody. I'm sure the government, they say, no, it's not a matter of bringing out the truth.
Well, they don't want to know the truth.
Well, they don't want you to know the truth.
They don't want you to know the truth.
Don't want the public to know the truth. So something's got to be done about that.
Yes.
They're going to try that taxation thing. I don't know how that's going to work out. I'm sure it can work out. Yeah, I guess it probably can, but it's, I don't
know. Hey, they need the money. They're going to tax.
I understand. But
as much as they can until people say enough.
I'm going to make you a bet that by the time they get done taxing the internet, if they do, and probably will, that they will in fact make the internet more accessible to hackers. If the government has, if I'm going to buy something from Amazon.com, and there's me at this end and Amazon.com at the other end, the hackers have a certain opportunity to infiltrate, to get control of whatever's going on between me and Amazon. But if those sales are taxed as they're made, and the government's got its snoot in there, there's me and Amazon and the government, I'm going to speculate, don't know it to be true, but I'm going to speculate that there will just be one more opportunity, one more opening where the hackers can invade, and while the government is taxing you, the hackers may be taxing you also. We'll watch and see. But you just wish, God, can't they just leave things alone? You know, they've got a compulsion. If there's anything out there moving anywhere between here and Mars, there's somebody in government trying to figure a way to tax it, regulate it, control it, spy on it. I don't know. It's irritating. And it's such an enormous change compared to the way life was back when I was a kid. And it just doesn't seem that long ago. I'm sure the young people sit back and say, oh, man, that was a really long time ago. Well, actually, it wasn't. You'll see. You know, you youngsters who think these people like myself are really old, stick around and see how long it is until you are also old. And then you'll find out. You'll say, what the heck happened? Where did the years go? I mean, thought it was going to take forever until I was old enough to retire. No, it doesn't take that long. In any case, world's changing. What can you do about it? Not much other than just hang on tight.
Well, here's a guy that everybody that is considering to run as president, Chris Christie,
yep,
out of New Jersey. you know.
Sounds kind of like a breakfast cereal. Chris Christie's. I mean, yeah, let's have a bowl of Chris Christie's.
Chris Christie.
Yeah.
But he's proposing a new round of major pension and health benefit cuts for public employees. And this is the day after a judge had ordered his administration to restore the $1.57 billion in delayed payments to the state's pension system. I mean, New Jersey really is in bad shape. And, of course, they haven't had much luck with governors of late. Certainly...
probably not as bad as Illinois. They've jailed something like 3 out of the last 4 or 5 Illinois governors have gone to the slammer. Now, that's a problem.
Well, the one before Christie should have gone to jail, but he's
smarter.
He's got better connections.
The smart ones are. They have
better connections.
Maybe so.
But I think you have a little something on Chris Christie, too.
Oh, we got a little thing here. We've got something on pension plans, and the court has ordered him. Here's what happened. Christie, apparently, unions for public workers sued Christie after he announced last year that he would not make the full pension payments he had agreed to in a 2011 overhaul that was one of his main accomplishments. 4 years ago, he said, we're going to have these pensions for government workers. All right? And now he says, no, I don't think I changed my mind. We're not going to have them after all. Union sued. The court agreed. Superior Court Judge Mary Jacobson's ruling could force big changes in the state budget late in the fiscal year. And the judge said, in short, the court cannot allow the state to simply walk away from its financial obligations, especially when these obligations were the state's own creation. Christie can't promise big pensions in 2011 and back out in 2015. That's what this comes down to. Those who live by making overly generous pension promises to state workers eventually die by the same overly generous pension promises. Point to all of this is that pensions are simply too big to be paid. And they're scrambling to figure out how they're going to duck, shuck, and jive and get around them. But sooner or later, they're going to have to admit, and even the courts are going to have to admit, that New Jersey can't pay all of its pensions. That's all. And it'll be one of a number of states. We're going to see this. This is very much like what we see in Greece. Greece can't pay its debts. All right? This here in New Jersey can't pay its debts, too. Not entirely. They're going to have a problem. And it's only going to get worse. We'll see more and more of it across the country. Part of the reason for this is we've got another article here from the Wall Street Journal, and the headline is Longer Lives Hit Companies with Pension Plans Hard. When General Motors Company's pension plan took a big hit earlier this month, it joined hundreds of companies facing growing pension shortfalls as Americans keep living longer. You see, Melody? There's the problem. You people are living too long. You shameless individuals are retiring, and you don't have the common decency to expire shortly after you retire at age 65. In fact, according to this article, right now, mortality rates are up. 65-year-old man today can expect to live 87 to age 87, which means we can expect another 20 years after we retire, which means we basically don't have jobs for the first 20 years of our lives. We won't have jobs for the last 20 years of our lives. 40 years out of our lives, we aren't going to work. How can we support people who don't work for half their lifetimes? Where's the money going to come from? I mean, we've got a problem here with pension plans or us. The truth of the matter is, one way or another, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to work longer. You're going to have to get by on less on pension plans. Bound to happen that way before long. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cedarson on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
We're going to continue the special. Remember, America Saves Gold and Silver Week. 1/10 ounce gold eagle, almost uncirculated $5 Indian gold piece, 21-ounce silver eagles, 2015s, 20 Morgan silver dollars. Those are going to be a mixture of pre-21s and 21s, and 90% silver. There are 50-cent pieces, Walking Liberties, the older ones, and we pull out all the ones that are highly circulated. So you get some nice coins along with some quarters. It's going to be a mixture, no set amount for either. It's at our discretion. All for this small price of $1,700. That includes all your shipping costs is included in that number. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And make sure you pick up your America Saves Gold and Silver. It's a great way to, you know, take your those fiat currencies, that your fiat dollars that you're holding, and put them into something that's real. And
It's also a good way to give a gift to, have some kids, even grandkids. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're getting ready to graduate from high school or whatever. This isn't just an investment per se. You've got a pretty wide variety of coins here. And it's the sort of thing that's kind of an introduction, potentially, for people, children, grandchildren, introduce them to numismatics, to gold, to silver, whatever.
Yes, you're right, Al, because it's a mixture of new coins and old coins. And you can show them coins were made in the 1900s, in the 20s. And then you have the modern issue coins and the Morgan silver dollars, the pre-21s. Those are certainly coins dated in the 1800s. So, yeah, it's a nice selection of old and new coins.
Mm-hmm. All right, Melody, what's next?
Oh, you caught me off guard there, Al.
Well, then I'll do one here. I've got one. Don't do as I do as I say. All right. Here's an article from the Washington Times, and the headline is Hillary Clinton.
You were talking to me, Al.
Well, this applies to a lot of people, I suppose. But in this case, we're talking about Hillary. And it says the headline is Hillary Clinton as senator. Paid women 72 cents on every dollar paid to men. During her time as Senator of New York, Hillary Rodham Clinton paid her female staffers 72 cents for every dollar she paid men, according to a new Washington Free Beacon report. From 2002 to 2008, the median annual salary for Mrs. Clinton's female staffers was $15,000 less than what was paid to men, the report said. Women earned slightly higher median salary than men in 2005, coming in at $1.04. Women made $1.04, while men were getting a dollar. But in 2006, they earned 65 cents. 1 year later, boy, that's a change. They earned 65 cents for each dollar men earned, and in 2008, they earned only 63 cents on the dollar. And this according to a publication called The Free Beacon. I'm not sure where that is exactly, but it was politically incorrect. I'm sure that presidential candidate Hillary Clinton would agree women are entitled to equal pay for equal work. And yet here she is, paying them only 72 cents on every dollar she paid to men. I don't know, Melody, is that good or bad, hypocritical, or just merely hilarious?
All of the above.
All of the above, huh?
All of the above.
All right. Well, it's the sort of thing that we would never do. We wouldn't do that sort of thing. Here's another one. Amnesty contract canceled as White House struggles to comply with ruling. It's from the Washington Times. Homeland Security Department quietly canceled one of its major amnesty contracts. This is for the amnesty that Obama had proposed for roughly 5 million illegal aliens in this country, putting them on, they would have an opportunity to get a social security number and driver's license, and I don't remember. And some people are concerned that given these two documents, they'd be eligible to vote, be impossible to keep them from voting, so Obama was going to allow 5 million illegal aliens ultimately to vote in national elections, and you can bet they'd support any candidate that was in favor of allowing more illegal aliens to enter this country. But a judge, much to my surprise, actually stood up and issued a ruling in one of these, and he said, look, you cannot be granting privileges to people that aren't even legally allowed to be here. And insofar, and the reason this is just it's interesting to me is because Homeland Security Department quietly canceled one of its major contracts that were associated with implementing these amnesty proceedings. Goes on to says, but officials struggle to explain how they are complying otherwise, even as the administration filed an appeal Monday asking that it be allowed to begin processing applications immediately. To me, if Homeland Security canceled a major amnesty contract, that's good evidence that the administration does not expect to soon overturn the recent federal court's decision against granting immunities and benefits to illegal aliens. Pretty much saying, they got us, we're not going to get out of this thing anytime soon, which I regard, hooray. Somebody in government did what I regard. They actually followed the law. They didn't just say the law is anything we say it is, anytime we say. They actually said, no, wait a second. We've got illegal aliens, illegal as in criminal. You understand? This cannot be tolerated. It should not be rewarded under any circumstances. And people say, oh, but they have families. Listen, John Dillinger had a family. All right? Serial killers have families. Rapists have families. We're not giving them a break. You know, everybody has a family. There's nobody born who didn't have a family one way or another, at least for a while.
Well, my two cents, Al, is Homeland Security, the only reason that they canceled those contracts, because they won funding from Congress. That's what that's all about. Okay, we'll make this show. I don't think they did anything in order to protect our borders or what's good for the U.S. of A. They need their funding, and they need to get it through Congress, and that's why they did. There's also, you know, things going on. There was an email that was leaked that Border Patrol were told to curtail deportation orders. There's been headlines and articles where you have, you know, that they're just flooding in, that there's nothing that's being stopped, you know, and maybe
the judge did okay,
but Homeland Security did it because they probably had to, maybe because the judge didn't, because they need funding from Congress. So
maybe they could They could just stop by everybody's home and pass the helmet, send some armed guards out there and say, we need some funding for Homeland Security. How much you got?
I mean, they're set to shut down on Saturday, Homeland Security. So,
It may be. It's hard to know for sure, but I'm just encouraged to see.
Well, I'd be encouraged if the meaning behind it was real. But, you know, to me, I don't think that the real reason they did it was for the good of the country. Now, the country might benefit for it temporarily. They have an agenda, and that's not going to change.
Oh, I understand. I know it's not going to change, but I was, when I first heard that the judge had stood up and did what was right for this country rather than what was right for the administration. I was shocked.
Applaud him.
And, yeah, I was shocked and amazed to see some judge trying to actually do what's right for America rather than what's right for Barack Obama. That amazed me. And here we see what I interpreted as evidence that the government said, yeah, he's got us. We're going to have to sit back here and maybe work in silence, kind of in secret, but we're not going to be able to openly grant amnesty just yet. So I look at it and I say, the glass is half full, Melody. You understand?
I get it. But when you look at who's in, you know.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at McConnell, when you look at
Mitt. Out of the glass and what's in the glass. You know, it's not a water glass. It's like, is the glass of Jack Daniels half empty or half full, Melody? Well, the people that are drinking out of it, I think they say it's still half full, so yippee.
I mean, even Mitch McConnell, I mean, he came out today and he offered these Senate Democrats everything they wanted. It's like, well, okay, here, you know. Here, you can have everything that you need just to keep the Homeland Security Department going. That's all right. So, you know, I mean, there is not one person in Washington that has anything remotely close to a backbone. You know, they're all just a bunch of jellyfish in there that
they're bought and paid for is the problem. And they have to justify. They have certain positions that they have to maintain, give lip service to in order to encourage the public to reelect them.
And
but people in positions of real power up there appear to be bought and paid for. They're working for the New World Order, North American Union. They're working for things other than the best interests of the people of the United States of America. They are technically engaged in treason. And, they're getting away with it for now.
You know, and I shouldn't give jellyfish a bad name. At least they have a sting.
Yeah, exactly.
And that sting hurts. Well, you know, they're just jellyfish with no stings. I don't know.
But. Yeah, they probably have stings, but they are, you know, you can immunize yourself to their stings. All you have to do is cover yourself with cash, and then the jellyfish can't sting you. And the jellyfish say, yay, here comes somebody covered in cash. I got another article here to tell you, dealing with the Federal Reserve. This is from Business Insider. And it says the Fed is worried about what happens when everyone rushes for the exit. The Fed is sounding the alarm on liquidity risks. In the minutes from the January FOMC, Federal Open Market Committee, meeting, the Federal Reserve addressed the financial situation and noted that the increasing role of bond and loan mutual funds could pose a liquidity risk if everyone tries to get out of the markets at the same time. Well, you know, that's just common sense. It could be, there could be a liquidity risk if everyone tried to get out of the gold market at the same time, or out of the stock market at the same time, or out of homes or Cadillacs all at the same time. There could be a liquidity risk associated with that. So it's unremarkable to simply observe that there could be a liquidity risk if everyone tries to get out of the market for bonds, for mutual funds that invest in bonds and loans. So we have to wonder why. Has the Federal Reserve chosen to discuss the liquidity risk in relation to bond and mutual funds at this time? It's like warning the people of the dangers of living in houses that have roofs that can't withstand a falling meteor. Unless someone is anticipating a meteor shower, the warning doesn't make much sense. You know, I can warn all of you. Better make sure you don't get, you know, reinforce the roof of your house, so the meteors can't crash through. Well, that doesn't make sense. Nobody's going to pay any attention to that warning unless the meteor shower is close at hand. Similarly, the Fed's warning about bond and mutual fund markets don't make much sense unless someone in the Fed anticipates that everyone may soon try to get out of mutual funds that invest in bonds at the same time. They are warning us implicitly. They're saying, look, the mutual funds for bonds may be unusually risky investment, but more, the Fed is implicitly warning that they foresee possible economic circumstances in the foreseeable future that could trigger some sort of panic selling of mutual funds that invest in bonds. What might those circumstances be? Well, the most obvious answer might be that people who invest in mutual funds for bonds would be among the first to realize that the value of the bonds, and therefore the mutual fund investments, was falling or about to do so. The Fed, their warning implies that the mutual funds for bonds may be a canary in the economic coal mine. If and when those mutual funds suddenly go south, maybe that's a signal that more carnage is sure to follow. Is that something that you have knowledge about, Melody? These bonds, mutual funds where they invest in bonds and loans, they don't actually own the bonds. Mutual fund owns the bonds, and the people invest in the mutual funds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, do you think that's a canary in the coal mine, or do you think there's close to a problem with them, or am I misreading?
No, I definitely think there is a major problem, and I think it definitely can be a liquidity problem, and particularly, you know, we often talk a lot of these, you know, these bonds. You bring in derivatives. I mean, I think there's so many canaries out there that this is one that is certainly definitely.
Hard to get any sleep with all the canaries around. You know that, Melody?
I know.
They just perching all over the economic tree outside my window. And somebody shut these damn canaries up. In fact, they're growing up and they're evolving. They're kind of cute when they're babies. They're little yellow canaries, but they're turning into black swans. And we have these black swans barking. Well, I'm not sure if that makes much sense to most people, but it's kind of makes sense to me. And while we ponder the possibility that it does or does not make sense, let's take some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, were we finished about the bond?
Fed worried about the possibility of everyone rushing to the exit in the markets for mutual funds that invest in bonds and loans. That's what they're warning. You made an interesting point that you think in the article that we were reading from, or I was reading from, they talk about there may be other factors at play. Melody is speculating that maybe it involves derivatives. Do you think the derivative market, something may be happening in the derivative market that could trigger some unpleasantness in the mutual funds that invest in bonds and loans?
Well, I do believe that these derivatives are attached to their assets, are attached to these bonds and so forth. So, I mean, it's all intertwined. They're all connected.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, anytime you're going to have a, you know, the string break somewhere, the rest of it's just going to collapse. So, you know, and I would think that that would probably be one of their, I mean, we know that there's a huge bond bubble going on, and yeah. You know, there's, you know, enough discussions and acceptance of it, and they're just going to ride it until it breaks, until something makes it break. The key thing is what is going to make something break. And that's what we were talking about during the break. What is going to, you know, what is going to happen?
What's
going to
be the black swan event that triggers something serious?
Something that they can't control.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's very possible something of a natural nature, or maybe it is someone breaks the ranks. And you were mentioning that the Swiss, you know, when they broke away from the euro.
We're going to see increasingly we have a global system that's based on fiat currency. And the fundamental idea behind the fiat currency is that debt is wealth, which is just stupid, right? It's irrational. I admit it has worked pretty well for, who knows, 50, 60 years altogether. We've had it's been successfully applied, but in the end, it is stupid. It is irrational. Debt is not wealth, right? Debt is not an asset. Not really. I know you can play the game and redefine, play things. And if I have something, Uncle John promised to give me $1,000. Well, I can count on Uncle John's promise, and I can count that in a sense. I don't really have that $1,000, but I have the promise. I can sit back and say, well, I have an asset worth $1,000, and that's Uncle John's promise to give me $1,000 one of these days. Well, yeah, but you get to a point where Uncle John has promised 1,000 to me and 1,000 to Melody and 1,000 to everybody in the audience and 1,000 to everybody in the state of Texas. Uncle John doesn't have that much money. He can't make good on those promises. You know, these kinds of promises are for the fiat monetary system. It works for a while as long as it's at least possible that the entity, the government's making the promises, can make good on. Oh, yeah, it's the government. Yeah, they can make good. They'll get everybody a Cadillac here. Just wait till they get the next Congress sits and we'll all get a free Cadillac. No, they can't. They have reached a point where their promises are no longer potentially keepable, if there is such a word. Huh? And that's where we're kind of going. And we have a global system that's based on what strikes me as a fundamental fallacy, an irrational. It's like designing planes to fly upside down. Yeah, you can get away with it for a while, but when you try to land that plane upside down, you're going to have a problem, and you have to land sooner or later. There is a fundamental element of irrationality that's inherent in the fiat monetary system, and the governments of the Western world are by and large committed to that. They are all standing together, the central banks and the governments of the Western world. Now, there are exceptions. China doesn't seem to be in that. They're participating, but they're not committed to it. Russia doesn't appear to be committed to it. There may be other countries we could point to, but most of the Western world is in this fiat monetary system. Melody was asking, what can make the system break? Well, maybe if one, two, or three of the countries that are committed to fiat monetary system finally just break ranks and they say, that's it, we quit, we can't do this. And to some degree, you could make the argument that Greece has recently done that. They've recently found they can't go any deeper into debt. That means they can't generate any more wealth. That means they can't buy a free lunch for all the Greek people. They can't. That's Greece's fundamental problem. They can't go deeper into debt. Right? They can't pay the debt they have, and no one will really allow them. They're being supported and subsidized. They're still getting some money, but it looks like that's coming to an end. And if they can't go deeper into debt than under the fiat monetary system, they can't generate more apparent wealth. And now what? What happens then? We are hitting a kind of limit. Greece may bail. Italy may bail. Spain may bail. Who knows who's going to just say, fine, we can't go any further. It's like Swiss recently bailed out on pegging the Swiss franc to the U.S. dollar. They cut that and surprised a lot of people. Well, I'm sitting back and I'm looking at this, and there may be a natural disaster that triggers a big adverse consequence in the economies of the United States and the world or Europe or wherever, Japan. And there may be some natural disaster, earthquakes, who knows, it might be enough to tip us over the side. Or it might be that one of the nations finally just says, that's it, we quit, we're done, we can't play this game anymore. And when they start to break ranks, this parallels the article we were reading from, the headline, the Fed is worried about what happens when everyone rushes to the exit. In order for everyone to rush for the exit, somebody's got to break ranks. Somebody's got to be the first man out the door. And I'd say the pressures are building on a lot of governments, and they're sitting back and saying, this is crazy. We can't play this game anymore. And somebody else is saying, no, we can make this work. Just sit tight. Don't lose your nerve. But we're going to hit that moment, and somebody is finally just going to say, as the Greeks have, they said, look, we can't pay the damn debt. We can't go any deeper into debt. We want to terminate. We want to go back and try to rebuild our economy, our nation. Greece is just a little place, 11 million people, if I understand correctly. But we're going to see this happen in a major country before this is done. And when we do, maybe that'll be enough. But you know, from my perspective, fiat currency is inherently nuts. It's crazy. It's like, it's a great con game. When you look at a con game and you figure it out, you say, this is a racket. This is a criminal enterprise. Well, fiat monetary systems are the same thing. It's a racket. It's been very profitable for the inside players, the central banks, and people closely associated with them and the New World Order. And, you know, it's been a workable system. Big government depends on fiat currency because they can spin the money out of thin air. And that gives them an enormous advantage. They can grow bigger and bigger and bigger just by spinning more and more imaginary currency out of thin air. But you finally get to a point where it becomes too crazy to be sustained, and then the con game is exposed. Everybody quits, and there's chaos. People start looking for dehydrated food and water and gold and silver and bullets and rifles and so on. Maybe they find them, maybe they don't. But if we break ranks on the fiat monetary system, and to some extent that is happening. I mean, China, in a sense, they're in this. They have trillion U.S. dollars, fiat dollars as part of their treasury. They're in this system. They play the game, but they're stacking up an awful lot of gold. It sure looks like they are preparing to exit. Headline we were reading from Business Insider said, Fed worried about what happens when everyone rushes for the exit. China's prepared for that exit. Russia may be prepared for that exit. Europe certainly isn't. The United States isn't. I don't know how the other countries of the world are stacked up. But what do you do, Melody? Just sit back and watch. But you can see this. If you look around and you consider and say, you know, this is crazy. This can't work. Okay, maybe they can hold together another 10 years. I don't think they can. But who knows? Maybe they can't. But however long they can hold it together, this fiat currency is not going to last as long as gold has lasted. Gold has been here 5,000 years. The current fiat currencies have been here 70 years or more, thereabouts. Which one do you think is going to continue to last? Which one's going to still be here, you know, 100 years from now, 50 years from now, 20, 10, 5, 4, 3? Gold's going to be here. And fiat currency, one way or another, is going to go the same way as Confederate money. Interesting collectible, but it's no longer a valid currency. Got to happen, we just don't know why. We don't know when. We understand why, or at least I think we understand why, but the when. That's the problem, Melody. You got your crystal ball?
Yes, I do.
Oh, then when is it all going to happen?
I think I'll release that information here in the near future.
Do you have a crystal ball to tell us when you're going to release the information from the other crystal ball?
That one's a little cloudy.
All right. Well, we'll watch.
I have to polish it up.
Let's see. What have we got here? Here's something from Robert Fitzwilson of the Portola Group. He's a an analyst, talking head. He was interviewed by King World News. Here are some of the key points he made. The Japanese just passed a massive defense spending bill. It makes no difference that Japan is insolvent, at least for now. As long as the money can be conjured up out of thin air and people will accept it as payment, the show goes on. And that's what this is finally all about. You know, we are running this phony baloney system. And it will last as long as everyone in the audience, in the country, in the world is prepared to accept green pieces of paper and treat them as if they were money. They're willing to take debt as if it were an asset, as if it were a payment, when it's only a promise to pay. As long as people will continue to accept it, it goes. The game goes on. But if enough people sit back and say, you know, I think this game is rigged. I don't think I'm going to play this game anymore. The game dies. He goes on, Mr. Fitzwilson goes on. He says the euro and the European Union are sinking ships. The Greeks are not alone. Italy and Spain are not far behind. Just about every major government and country around the world is broke. The governments of the world need to declare bankruptcy. It is the only way to create a fresh start from which to move forward. I think he's got first off, most of the governments of the world are technically broke, bankrupt right now. They can't pay their bills. Instead, they give these damn pieces of paper to everyone and the handout say, well, take this promise to pay and treat it as if it was a payment. It's not. But nevertheless, the world is doing it. The governments are doing it. But they are broke in most instances. And it's his contention that the governments of the world need to declare bankruptcy. It's the only way to create a fresh start from which to move forward. I think he's right. All right? And if he is right, then it's inevitable that we're going to see the governments of the world finally fess up and say, you're not going to believe this, but we're broke. We don't have any money for pensions or for Social Security or for national defense. We're busted. And the world, and if we say it, and England says it, and Europe says it, and most of the governments of the world say it, or most of the countries of the world say it, it will be a globally painful moment, but it'll be hard to pin responsibility on anyone in particular. Every country in the world will point to another country as the one who's really responsible, and they're the bad guys. But I think Mr. Fitzwilson is correct when he says the only way out of this mess is all the governments have to declare bankruptcy. I think he's right. I think it is the only way, and that means it's inevitable. The only question, will they declare bankruptcy next month, next year, 5 years from now? When do they finally admit they're broke? I mean, it's like we talked about Chris Christie, and he's being compelled by the courts to cough up, find another $6 billion to put money into the government pension funds. He's broke. They want to admit it. They can still shuck and jive and conjure things together and, I don't know, snuff smoke and mirrors, and they can make it appear that they're still solvent. But the truth is they're broke. They can't keep their promises. And governments of the world are in a similar position, and all it means to me is this stuff has to break down. There's no way out of this other than a collapse, a bankruptcy, whatever. And if that's true, then you want to put your money into something that will survive the bankruptcy. Like what? Like gold, like silver. Humility, call 1-800-375-4188. We're out of time. I'm Alfred Addisk. This is Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. Money, always funny.